told me before that apparently John Yates measures this by the number of times I say Jesus. So all I'll say is that he is very much my Lord and Saviour. And I came to him 34 years ago now. I sat down and I worked out when I became a Christian, and it was in 1978. And I'll tell you how that happened. I had grown up as a middle-class kid, went to a private school, which was Christchurch Grammar School, and well and truly received my inoculation to the Christian faith. I was very much opposed to it. I can remember, it's a bit of a dubious honour, but I used to, in the church service, I could see no point to it, so I used to try and find ways of disrupting it, much to the annoyance of my priest at the time. Anyway, what happened was I left school and I went up north, and I worked as a trades assistant in Parabadoo. And it was there that I met my first Christian. And it was interesting because he had connections with, he was a New Zealander. He was up as a draftsman in Parabadoo and I was working as a trades assistant. I can distinctly remember meeting him because in the food hall where we used to eat, he came and joined us at the table, and I remember, you could imagine that generally the conversation in a mining camp is not particularly savoury, and someone said, "Please don't blaspheme because this guy's a Christian." And I had no concept of what that meant, so I talked to him and he invited me back to his single men's quarters. And I went back there, and the thing that struck me was he had Bible texts right across his wall, which was unusual in a mining camp. So I sat down with him and I attempted then to convince him that his faith had no foundation. And I learnt later, actually, that he was severely depressed and actually questioning his faith. But at that point in time, he gave a testimony to what Jesus had done in his life. And I listened to him, and of course I didn't believe it. But then afterwards I left, and I used to walk to the outskirts of Parabadoo, which has this magnificent vista. If you look up at the skies, it's really clear. There's not much light around. And I can remember I was about a kilometre outside of town, just looking up at the sky, the night sky, and suddenly I had a deep sense that there could be someone there. I was absolutely terrified, and I can remember sprinting a kilometre back to my quarters and hiding under a pillow. I woke up the next morning and I forgot all about that, and then I came back to Perth, and I had a lot of money, certainly at that point in time, and being a single man at about 18. I lived it up for a while, and then I discovered... I got actually quite depressed. I bought a house, suddenly discovered that my relationships were fairly shallow, particularly those who were relating to me on the basis of what I could give them, etc. So on that basis, I tended to withdraw, and I went back home and wasn't seeing too many people at that point in time. Then I had a knock on the door, and to my surprise, it was a guy who I knew had been the local drug dealer, and he'd actually been...
Can you put the microphone higher up, please?
Sure. Sorry about that. He had actually been converted a week before, and he came around to speak to me about Jesus. So, actually, the last time I'd seen him, he'd punched me in the face. So I wasn't really pleased to see him, but he seemed to have changed. So we went down to the beach and he opened John's Gospel to me, and I can remember at that point just feeling this deep sense of peace and feeling a sense of that I finally had connection with this God that I didn't know. As a result of that, he took me to a service, and I can remember distinctly it was in town, and I've forgotten, it was a Pentecostal church. And they had an altar call at that point in time. I actually found myself resisting it when I went in there. I thought it seemed a bit odd. But when I went in there, I found myself singing for the first time. And then they had an altar call and I went forward. And I can distinctly remember being prayed for, to receive the Holy Spirit, and just this deep sense of peace coming over my life. And that remained with me for many months, actually, and as it often is with new Christians, that you have this deep sense of God's presence. Well, I thought what I'd also touch on is, that was how I became a Christian. I thought I'd also talk to you about how I've how my faith has been sustained for the last 34 years. The big blessing for me was that I eventually went to an Anglican church. It was David Bone's church in St Albans. And it was there that I learnt, and David was a very good teacher, and he taught me the book of Romans. And I must say that that has stuck with me since that date. To realise that I was justified by faith, that Jesus had died in my place and done everything for me that I may have a relationship with the Father, brought such confidence. I just had the deepest sense of being loved, and I could see it finally in the scriptures, and it was very clear to me. And from there, I think I've had a deep conviction to pray. I love to pray. What happened, I did an apprenticeship for 3 years, and it changed my body clock. So I just get up at 5 o'clock every morning. So when I became a Christian, that was before I was a Christian, but when I became a Christian, I then discovered that that was a really good time to pray. So generally I have an approach now where I read the scriptures. I'd read a psalm, I read 3 chapters, and chapter from the Old Testament and 2 from the New, and I then pray, and I have a very concerted effort to pray for a number of people. And I found that's where I meet Jesus very definitely in the morning. And I think in intercession particularly, that's something, it's an experience that I have where I really feel his presence. The other thing that I have a deep conviction about is that my workplace is in fact the place where I'm called by God. I have for a long time struggled with the fact that I don't believe that I was called to be in the ministry. But I feel that God has called me into my workplace, and it's there that I can develop friendships and share my faith with various people. And CCI actually stands for the Chamber of Commerce and Industry, and I actually work in industrial relations. I had an unusual experience of having worked for a union as well, so I've worked on both sides of the industrial relations fence, which is highly unusual, but I think that that was God's call in my life. And I found in that context to the need to, particularly today when you're talking to people about Jesus, that there are now much more complex questions that they're asking, and I prefer to strike up friendships and over a long period of time try to share my faith with people. And what I'm struck by all the time is the depth of their own spiritual experience, even though they can't understand it. And it certainly resonates with me from where I came from and how I came to faith. But I think that in that context, I've learnt to listen to people very carefully, listen to their questions, and somewhere, at some point, you can generally find there's a point of contact in the sense that they have a deep sense that there must be a God, or sometimes they're resisting that, but they often have experiences they can't make sense of. And I thought I'd just tell you, I don't know how I'm going, David. It's okay. Just recently I had a friend of mine who worked in the union movement. She came to me and we had a friendship that went over 18 months. She's now living in the country. And she said to me over time, we got to know each other, and then eventually we agreed that we would meet every 4 weeks. And what I asked her to do was to tell me how she would, her worldview, how she would explain the deep questions of life. So I gave her the floor for the first few weeks, and then she turned to me and said, well, I want to know more and more about your faith. Once she got to know me after a while, she said that she'd had the experience when she had grown up. Her father and mother were very committed humanists to such an extent that they had actually, when they found out that she was at a public school and there was some religious education, they went down to the school and they pulled her out of the subject and said, you're not hearing that propaganda. So she what she heard in the first few meetings that she'd had was of a picture of God as a deep and terrible judge. And she prayed this prayer, which knocked me over. She said, "I'm going to live the life I want to live, God, and you can judge me at the end." And I said, "I don't think you know what you've asked." So anyway, I thought about that, and I wrote her a long email in the end about all that Jesus had done to die in her place and to be her saviour. And it made no sense to her. So I had another meeting with her a few weeks later. She then told me of an experience that she could never explain. And she said she was on the beach in Carnarvon, right out the back of Carnarvon, in the middle of nowhere. And she felt that it was a time when she was, once again, deeply searching and deeply depressed. And she said that she felt a light coming from outside, well, down the beach toward her. And she felt this deep sense, a deep presence in her life, and a deep peace. And she said, "I just can't explain what that is." And I said, I had to think about it for some weeks, but I came back and I said to her that the experience of the peace that she had was the peace that the living God wanted to give to her, and it was open to her to receive that through Jesus. And she said to me later, well, she hasn't become a Christian and I'm still praying for her, but that was an illustration to me of the deep searching that people have out in the community at this point in time. I don't know if there's anything else I can add, really, but that's basically how it is for me at the moment. I think, the other thing that I'd say was one of the really important things that I found is that my pastor said to me I had to read my Bible cover to cover every year, and I have done that for a long time now. And I find that having the big picture of all that God has done for us in the Scriptures, the beginning and where it's going, is so critical for me in understanding where I fit and what my calling is. So, with that, thank you for letting me share with you. And shall I pray? Father, thank you so much for all that you have done for us in your Son. And Lord Jesus, we acknowledge that you are indeed our great High Priest. You are set over your Father's household. And today we love you and know you as the one who ever lives to intercede for us, and that we can come to you to find grace in time of need. Lord, I pray that we as your people in this city would have a boldness to share our faith, because as has been prayed before, it is the case, there is great darkness in this place. And Lord, help us to be faithful to you, faithful witnesses in wherever we stand, and listening carefully to what people are saying to us and the tensions that are in their lives. And I pray, as Paul prayed, for the opportunity for openings, for opportunities to share the gospel with people. And we ask this so that you may be glorified in this city and glorified in our lives. And we ask this in your name. Amen. So thank you.